We're doing Tanya 200, and we're up to chapter 41 in the first part of Tanya. To review quickly what we studied in the past few chapters, we were talking about the two wings with which the performance of the mitzvah, the study of Torah, can rise to a higher state, to a higher world. The two wings are the love and the fear with which we perform the commandment or study the Torah. The need for the wings is because if we study the Torah without love and fear, then the holiness of the words of the Torah or the words of the prayer, when we pray without love and fear, the holiness of it doesn't rise to where it reflects or reveals God's interest or God's desire for these words or for the commandment and so on. So it remains on the human level. It's what we're experiencing in the commandment, in the prayer, or in the study of the Torah, but we're not feeling, we're not getting in touch with the godliness, with God's presence or God's investment in these words, in the mitzvah. Now, if the mitzvah is performed or the study is pursued with a natural love, the love that we have by nature of our godly soul, which is inherited from the patriarchs, then the study of the Torah, the words, the prayers, the mitzvah that we're performing, all of them rise to the world in which God's emotions are revealed. That's called the world of Yetzirah, or formation. If the love and the fear are the product of our own pursuit and study, coming to understand God's greatness, and we understand it so well and so thoroughly that it actually moves us to love and fear of God, it produces the wings, that's called emotion born out of intellect. And so then the study that we do with that kind of love and fear, or the praying that we do with that kind of love and fear, rises to an even higher world, to the world of Bria, where God's intellect, where God's thought is revealed and available. But even if a person prays or does a mitzvah or studies Torah without any particular kavana, without any particular intent, of either motivated either by love or fear, even then the mitzvah still is a mitzvah, it is holy, and although we don't see the holiness today, there in the future when the world becomes purified, that holiness will be visible as well. And that's why the Gemara says that a person should study Torah even for the wrong reasons, because eventually he will come to study Torah for the right reasons. So even if he is doing the mitzvah or studying the Torah with an intention, but with a selfish intention, with an ulterior motive, rather than no motive at all, he has an ulterior motive, even then he shouldn't hesitate to do the mitzvah or study the Torah or say the words of the prayer, because their own holiness, the native holiness of the mitzvah, of the prayer, and of the words of Torah, will eventually prevail. And although today they're concealed and hidden, buried under the unholiness of the ulterior motive, but all unholiness is temporary. In the world to come, the spirit of unholiness will be removed from the earth, and then the holiness that was always there in the mitzvah or in the Torah that he studied or in the words of the prayer that he said, then that godliness too will be revealed. And that's why we need two wings, because in order for the mitzvah to rise, in order that it not be earthbound, in order for it to rise, it has to have the dual action of both love and fear in order to carry it upwards, just as a bird can't fly with one wing. And this is the real meaning of the wings that are described in the vision of Yechezkel, where he saw the angels and they had wings. The wings are the love and the fear which enable the angel to rise to a higher level and come closer to God. The love and the fear that they experience. Now, generally speaking, what we've just said is that in order for a mitzvah to be alive, to be energized, to be enthusiastic, you have to have emotion, you have to have intention. Generally, in order to animate or inspire the performance of a positive mitzvah, you need a love for God. Love for God means a longing to get closer to God, to be in better or deeper contact with godliness. And that love, or that desire to get closer, that's what animates, that's what excites, and that's what inspires the performance of a positive mitzvah. So if you perform the mitzvah without love, the mitzvah is still holy, but it doesn't have the enthusiasm that it needs to rise. In avoiding a negative commandment, in refusing to transgress or to violate a commandment, this can also be performed without any particular emotion. A person can simply not sin because he's not interested in sinning. But then that rejection of the sin is not excited or inspired, and therefore it doesn't rise. It doesn't elevate the godly soul. It certainly doesn't elevate the animal soul. So in order for the rejection of sin to be excited, warm, enthusiastic, and alive, you have to have a certain amount of fear. That the reason you don't do the sin, the reason you refuse to transgress, is not because the sin doesn't appeal to you or because you're busy, but because of a fear of God, which consists of the dread of losing contact, of getting separated or alienated from godliness. So in order for the mitzvahs, both positive and negative, to be enthusiastic, you need either love for the positive mitzvah or fear for the negative commandment, for the prohibitions. Thou shalt not. Now in chapter 41, the Rebbe introduces another subject relevant and important to the Beinoni. We've already covered the fact that a person has to serve God with joy. That was back in chapter 26. Then we covered the fact that a person has to be constantly alive and growing and not be smug and complacent. We then spoke about the pleasure and the enthusiasm, in addition to the joy, that comes from knowing that you are fulfilling the purpose for which God created you. Then we spoke about the role of intention and kavana. Since the act is the main thing, the deed is the essential thing, what is the need or the role of the intention of the love and the fear? And we said that that's in order to enable the mitzvah to rise, even though it's a mitzvah either way. Now the Rebbe says that in addition to all of the above, the joy with which we serve God, the enthusiasm in the mitzvah, we also need to serve God. And serving God means that you put yourself in a relationship with God in which His will overwhelms your will, silences your will, and you do what God wants, not because you agree with God, not because you happen to have the same interest or the same opinion, but because you are the servant and He is the King. In other words, serving is a particular kind of relationship, because you can physically serve someone out of a number of orientations or relationships. A child serves his father because of the child-parent relationship. That's not the service of a servant. A husband and wife serve each other, but that's not the service of a servant. And in our relationship with God, loving God, wanting to be close to God, not wanting to be separated from God, is one part of the relationship, but it's not the whole thing. So we need to also serve God in the most literal sense, serving like a servant serves a king. And what does that involve? It means that I am not here to pursue a relationship. I'm not here to enhance my relationship. I'm not here to acquire some advantage or some growth or some self-improvement. That's not on the mind of a servant when he serves his king. When the servant serves his king, the king's authority, the king's power, overwhelms him so that his own existence, his own future, his own growth, development, and so on, are put aside, are silenced, and he does the service with the simplicity and with the transparency of a person who can think only of what the king wants or needs and thinks not at all about himself. Because ultimately, of course, our relationship with God is not an equal one. It's not a relationship of equals. And so there has to be this element of service, the service of a servant to a king. Now, when a person does a mitzvah out of love, he must experience his own significance, at least to some degree. Because if the mitzvah is the byproduct, the result of my love, then my love can't be insignificant in this relationship. It is the cause, the motivation of the entire relationship. So my feeling, my love, my desire, my wish to get closer to God takes on a certain amount of significance, even though God is the center of my attention. Well, the same with any relationship. If I serve someone out of love, then I am as significant as the beloved. The one I love is the focus, is the subject of my love. But the fact that I am loving, the fact that I am experiencing this love, is very significant in this relationship, so that it's really it involves two people. There are two realities here, and these two realities serve each other. In the relationship with God, there needs to be a oneness. God is one. He is our king, and therefore what he says goes, with or without my approval, with or without my enthusiasm. And that's called the service of a servant. And there has to be that element in all mitzvahs. Even when I'm fulfilling a positive commandment, there has to be that element. Or in simple terms, we have to ask ourselves the very basic question. If a person loves God and decides to serve God because he wants to get closer to God, the simple question that we need to ask ourselves is, does God want us any closer? Do we have the right to approach God simply because we would like to be closer? Now, the truth is that when God revealed himself at Mount Sinai, he was basically saying, I invite you to get closer. I give you 613 opportunities to get closer, because God initiates the relationship and asks for that closeness. And that the same is true with a king and a servant. You can't just walk into the palace and say, I'm here to serve. You have to know whether you've been invited to serve, whether your presence is welcome, whether your service is welcome. And since we need to be invited, we can't assume a relationship that is of an equal, of two equals, but rather that of a servant and a king. So, even though it is the love of God that inspires or gives enthusiasm to the performance of a positive mitzvah, it is not enough to have the love for God and then fulfill the mitzvah, because then it's missing the element of service. So that even when we're doing a positive mitzvah and we already have the love for God, the desire to get closer, we have to introduce at least a basic, minimal amount of fear of God as well. And although there are different levels of fear, the higher levels, the lower levels, there's the fear that comes after knowledge or as a result of the knowledge of God, or to know Him is to fear Him. There's also the fear that comes prior to the knowledge of God, the fear or the awe with which we approach the study and attempt to come to know God. That is preceded by fear. That's called the lower level fear, or the basic fear, fear of God. And that's necessary even in the performance of a positive mitzvah. So, in the performance of mitzvahs, we now have two concerns, two considerations. Number one, how do we perform the commandment? How do we fulfill the commandment? Enthusiastically, how do we bring energy and life to the act of the mitzvah? The answer to that is love and fear. Love in the positive mitzvah, fear for the negative mitzvah. Then there's the thought of, as I do this mitzvah, am I really serving God, or am I serving myself to some degree? Is this the service of a servant, or is this the attention of equals? So there needs to be a minimal amount of fear, even in the performance of a positive mitzvah. And how do we produce that fear? The Rebbe says we should consider, if even briefly, the fact that God is the king over all the worlds, over all of creation. All of creation includes infinite spiritual worlds with angels of all sorts that are holy and awesome and immense, and yet God moves past all those worlds, does not identify himself with any of those worlds, with any of those angels. We don't find anywhere in Torah where God identifies himself as the God of the angels. And instead, he identifies himself as the God of Israel. He connects in a personal, intimate way with every one of us. As the Gemara says, every person should assume that the world was created for him or her, meaning that for this one person alone, God creates a relationship, not just with the human race in general, not just with the Jewish people in general, but with the individual. There is a particular individual relationship that God asks for, chooses, and identifies with. And this thought itself produces a certain awe and a certain indebtedness that calls for a response, for a reciprocal identifying. God identifies with me, I should identify with him. And then in this relationship, God stands over each individual and scrutinizes his inner intentions and his inner workings to see if the person is serving him correctly and properly. That is the minimal required fear that every person has to have before he performs any mitzvah or studies Torah or prays. So this initiation or initiative, where God initiates the relationship and then is observant of our response and expects an appropriate response. That awareness that God is there and God is waiting for our reaction, that is the minimal fear that that a person needs to produce. Now, in this service of God, where we are serving as a servant, which is a humbling experience, and that's why fear is required, not only love, because fear humbles. Fear makes us more transparent, allowing God to be more dominant or visible. But in addition to that, as we said earlier, there has to be two wings. There also has to be the love, because with one wing, you can't fly. But here, after introducing the fear, then the love also takes on a higher quality. It's not the love that is selfish, the love which is a desire to satisfy a longing or to satisfy a thirst because of the nature of love. Here the love takes on a certain transparency as well. And that is that, why is it that we pursue the love of God? Because that pleases God. So there's a love that is completely self-centered. I love because I love, because that's me. Or there's the experience where you love because the one you love desires it. So there's a certain amount of humility even in the love itself. But that's if it's preceded by the fear. So once you have the fear, which is humbling, which enables you to become transparent, then when you move on to the love of God, the love is also a selfless one. God asked us to love Him. There's a commandment to love Him. And therefore, we pursue that as well. We think those thoughts that inspire love because God asked us to do that. So there's a certain humility there in the love too. Now, the fact that we need the love and the fear in order to animate the mitzvah, and in order for the mitzvah to be considered a service like that of a servant, that this itself, the love and the fear, are themselves commandments. So the question here is, we're supposed to love God, arouse a love for God, in order that the mitzvah should be animated. But loving God is itself a mitzvah. There's the commandment. You shall love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And there's the commandment, you should fear God. So the love and the fear are also commandments. But the difference is that other commandments are an end in themselves. Whereas the love and the fear, even as they are commanded, we are commanded to love God so that we will serve Him with our whole heart. Which means that the love is a tool, is a stepping stone towards the service of God. So although the love itself is also a mitzvah, it's also a commandment, but it has a goal. It is not an end in itself. Love God so that you will serve Him properly in all the other commandments and all the other mitzvahs. Now, the question that might remain is, when a person says, I understand this concept, I understand the whole idea, and of course it's all necessary and correct, but when I think about these thoughts, when I think about God's greatness, when I think about God being the king of all the worlds but identifying Himself only with me or with us, I don't feel, I am not moved to where I have an actual love or fear of God. So although I'm thinking these thoughts and I agree with them, it doesn't produce the emotion. that it's meant to produce. Because I'm thick, or because I'm dull, or whatever it is, the heart is not responding. To this, the Rebbe says that the very fact that you are thinking and attempting to move yourself towards love and fear of God is enough to serve as a preparation for the performance of a mitzvah. Because essentially, internally, the soul wants to serve God, does love God, and does fear God. The question is, how do we tap into that, and how do we get ourselves, our conscious mind and heart, to experience what our unconscious soul experiences? Sometimes we're successful, and we tap into that, and sometimes we can't. But the fact that we're thinking those thoughts, and wanting those things, and internally in our soul we have those feelings, that just makes the preparation a legitimate one and a true one, even though we're not feeling all that we ought to feel. And then finally the Rebbe says that in order for the service to be truly selfless, transparent, a true service, we have to take into consideration and be concerned not only for ourselves, but for all souls. And that's why before we perform a mitzvah, we say, we are going to do this mitzvah for the sake of uniting God and His Shekhinah in the name of all of Israel. So we're including all Jews, because we don't want to be alone in this. It's not just for ourselves. It's a collective thing. And by connecting God with His Shekhinah, meaning connecting God who transcends the world with the souls that He invested into the world, that is present in the world, and we do this not only for our own sake, but for the sake of all of us, of all of Israel, then the service is a true service. It is not a selfish satisfying of our spiritual desires or of our soul's thirst, but it is a true service doing for God what God wants and what God needs.